We're going to look at those verses that we read together. And I've given my talk the title, Growing in Favor with God and Man. Jesus growing in favor with God and man. And this morning I want us to see how from his earliest days, Jesus was a role model for his followers. One of the things that we'll comment on just a little later is a comment that Peter makes in one of his letters where he says, he has set us an example that we should follow in his steps. He has come as a role model. And a key factor in that is, of course, his coming into the world as a human being. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ shared our humanity. It also tells us that he had to be made like his brothers in every way. And then in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we discover that he experienced the full range of temptations that mankind faces. So when God sent his son into the world, he sent him as a real human being. He had a human body. He looked like a human. He ate and he drank. He got tired and needed to rest and sleep. And you find all these things in the gospel. He had a human mind. We saw in our Bible reading that he increased in wisdom. He had human feelings. At times he marveled at what was happening. At other times he was troubled. And on more than one occasion he wept. The Lord Jesus Christ was and is a real human being. It's important also to mention that the Bible also teaches that Jesus had a divine nature as well. However, during his time on earth, he never allowed his divine nature to prevent him from living as a man in the fullest sense. Philippians 2, the passage that we read at the beginning of our time together, is a wonderful passage of scripture about our Lord Jesus. One of my favorite passages of scripture. Tried to learn it once, but discovered I'm getting a bit old. And in that passage, we have an amazing statement in verse 6. That I don't think, if I can be so honest, that the New King James quite brings out in its fullest sense. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I prefer the translations that say, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And a recent study of that word that's translated grasp in that verse tells us that when it is found in other literature from that time, it often carries with it the idea of grasping, of holding on to for personal benefit. And that idea certainly fits well into the context of Philippians chapter 2. He didn't grasp onto equality with God. He made himself nothing and came into the world as a man and then to the cross. Jesus never allowed his divine nature to prevent him from living as a man in the fullest sense and facing all that we face day by day. There were times when Jesus was tempted to use his divine nature for his own selfish ends. A few pages on in Luke's Gospel, we come to chapter 4 and an account of the temptations of Jesus. And the devil tempted him when he was very hungry to turn stones into bread. And he could have done it, but he didn't do it. The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all those things. But he wouldn't do it. And he had an opportunity to just demonstrate how magnificent he was. He was taken to the pinnacle of the temple, and the devil said, throw yourself down. Just show the world what you like. He wouldn't do it. It would have been wrong for Jesus to have used his divine power in these ways, for he had come to live as a man among men. There were times when he would use that power. There were huge crowds who could testify to that when they were fed by him in a miraculous way. But he would not use that power for his own benefit. He had come to live as a man amongst mankind and to carry out that great mission that he was given, to die, to save his people from their sins. And as the man Christ Jesus, he hung upon the cross and died for his people. Jesus tells us that he could have called on 12 legion of angels to have rescued him. But he didn't. He would not use his power for his own comfort. He would not use his divine power to divert him from his mission. And at the end of his life, he did what he came to do and died as a substitute for his people, taking the punishment they deserve for their sin, so that all who repent of their sin and place their trust in him as their Savior will be forgiven and receive his gift of eternal life. And that wonderful promise continues today for all who will repent and trust him as their Savior. So we have a Lord who has a human nature and a divine nature. And in the Christmas story, we see the birth of the human Jesus. Now, you might be tempted to ask, how could Jesus be born to Mary and live in this world in such a way that at the end of his life it could be said of him that he had never sinned? That's a challenging question, isn't it? I believe Luke 1 and verse 35 gives us part of the answer. When the angel said to Mary, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. We can't understand that fully, but it's clear that the Holy Spirit would prevent the transmission of sin from Mary, who was a sinful woman, to the baby she would carry and bring into the world. And then in Luke's Gospel and chapter 2 and verse 40, we read, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And in verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And the wonderful thing is that being without sin meant that there was no barrier between Jesus and his heavenly Father. It was only when our sin was laid on him that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But up to that point, he was in many ways like the first man, Adam, before Adam sinned, a real human being, but able to walk and talk with God day by day. And I believe that's why there's a hymn that picks this up and says, "A second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came." We also discover in the scriptures that when Jesus, a man, that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And we discover in the scriptures that when we become Christians and are adopted into the family of God and become the children of God, we are called to live as Jesus lived. And so for the rest of our time this morning, I just want us to reflect on how he is an example to us in living. When the going gets tough, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that we should fix our eyes on Jesus as our example even more intently. And what an example Jesus sets us in our Bible reading this morning. Listen again to verses 40 and 51 and 52. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." For Jesus, family life was probably more difficult than it was for many, because Jesus lived in a poor family. The offerings that were made at the birth of Jesus tell us that it was a poor family. I guess, too, it was a pretty lively family. 4 younger brothers are named in Matthew 13, verse 55. And his sisters are mentioned in the next verse. And the fact that there were sisters means that there was at least 2. So there were at least 6 children in that family. I was one of 6 children in my family, so I know just how lively a family of 6 can be. It also seems that Joseph died before Jesus began his ministry. By that time, Jesus was simply known as Mary's son. And he was known as the carpenter. And so life was very, in many ways, very ordinary, but very demanding for Jesus. I loved that sticker that a Christian carpenter friend of mine had in the back of his car. I don't know whether you've ever seen it. It said, "Carpenter of Nazareth requires joiners." Jesus grew up then in a typical family of his time. Now, when we turn to verse 40, we read that the child grew. He got bigger. He didn't remain a baby. He became a boy. He grew. This may be a surprise to some. I remember when I was a young boy, someone looking at me and saying to my mum, "Hasn't he grown?" I just wondered what they expected to have happened. Our Lord Jesus grew. He learned to talk. He learned to walk. He learned to relate to people. He grew in a perfectly normal way. At 1 year old, he was a 1 year old. And yet, he never sinned. No doubt, as he grew up, he faced all the temptations that every other child faced. Have you thought of that? Children can be ever so selfish, can't they? And Jesus must have been tempted to be selfish. Children don't always tell the truth. And sometimes they try to defend themselves by telling an untruth. And I guess Jesus was tempted to do that. Tempted to be disobedient and so on. But he never sinned. You never hear him grumble about living in Nazareth, even though it had a reputation for being a dump, as Nathanael tells us in John 1. So although he grew up as every other child, he was unspoiled by sin. And if you think about it, that in itself must have been tough, because he was different. Are we prepared to be different? Are we prepared to be different? I remember when I became a Christian, I was challenged to be different. I was listening to a sermon on the life of Daniel, and this person finished his sermon by saying, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known." And the Lord challenged me. And I was a 14-year-old. And I sat in church with my friends. And I had come to faith in Christ. And I had to say so and declare my faith by being baptized. Dare we stand alone? The child grew and he became strong. He clearly became strong physically. He knew all about children's games because he talks about children's games, doesn't he? And I guess he played children's games. But he also had lots of exercise, and when he travelled by foot. He didn't have a mum who complained that she was taxi driver to Jesus because they didn't have a car. At 12, he walked to Jerusalem and back. Have you thought how far that was? About 140 miles. Wow. And when he began his ministry, he had long, tiring days. And what strength he displayed when he was arrested and flogged and crucified. Jesus grew strong. And as Christians, it's a good thing to look after our bodies, to eat healthy diets, to take regular exercise and use our bodies to serve the Lord. Sometimes we say before a meal, don't we, "Lord, bless this food to our use and our bodies in your service." I looked up a chorus that we used to sing as a child in Sunday school that reflected on this. Using our bodies for the Lord. Two little eyes to look to God. Two little ears to hear his word. too little feet to walk in his ways, too little lips to sing his praise, too little hands to do his will, and one little heart to love him still. Do we use our bodies for the glory of God? But he also became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. He became strong in his inner being. He increased in wisdom so much so that he could be said to be filled with wisdom. And it's clear from this passage that the Lord Jesus increased in knowledge. Indeed, it is possible that he spoke three languages. Most Jewish people used Aramaic in their everyday conversation. And Jesus used that too. We find an example of this in Mark 5, when he raised the daughter of Jairus and said in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," meaning, "little girl, arise." Living in Galilee, it is highly likely that he was also able to speak Greek, which was very common in that area. And in addition, many scholars tell us that many of the quotations that Jesus made from the Old Testament, and also being invited to read the scriptures in the synagogue, show that he was able to speak Hebrew as well. But wisdom is more than learning. It is being able to use our learning. And so at 12, we find him not only learned, but sitting in the midst of the teachers of the law and listening to them and asking them questions. And they're amazed at what he says. And later on, we see him teaching crowds of people the word of God and preaching to them as well. And also baffling those who tried to catch him out and challenge what he said. And always with great wisdom. As we follow the example of Jesus, we will welcome learning and wisdom. Christians are not people who disparage learning. We welcome learning. We will also recognize the uniqueness of the Bible, the Word of God. And as we read it, we will seek the help of the Holy Spirit to apply its wisdom to our lives day by day. And our aim will be to grow and become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Are we growing more like Jesus? We also discover in those verses that Jesus grew in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in favor with God. Verse 40 tells us that the grace of God was upon him. And John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that there was one person who was full of grace, and that was Jesus. Jesus was full of grace. Being full of divine grace, he reflected God in all he thought and said and did. His teaching and his preaching were full of grace, full of the undeserved favor of God towards people, towards sinful people, towards sinful men and women and young people everywhere. And his miracles reflected that as well. And God the Father rejoiced in this and said in Luke 3 and verse 22, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Are we growing in favor with God? Do we love him and his word? Jesus also grew in favor with men. I think this is something we can do well to take note of. Christians shouldn't set out to be difficult people. They shouldn't set out to make life difficult for others. Jesus earned respect as he lived the two great commandments that we discover in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12 and verses 29. Loving God and loving his neighbor as himself. People, including the teachers of the law here, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When he began his ministry, crowds followed him and listened to his teaching and preaching. They appreciated his counsel. They loved his words of comfort. They loved his help. They marveled at his miracles. And although many later turned from following him, he was deeply loved and respected. Are we growing in favor with people around us? Although we are to put God first, we are also to love our neighbors for him. And in the scriptures we see many, many references that tell us how we should live amongst other people. And I'm just going to quote a few as we close this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32 and following. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Seek to live at peace with all men. Romans and chapter 15 and verse 2. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me. And then in Galatians and chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Are we growing in favor with God and with man? Who is your role model in life? Is it David Beckham? Is it David Cameron? I'm sure it's not David Chapman. Let it be Jesus. He is the perfect role model. And as Peter writes, he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. May we do that. As if he wills, we come to the end of 2015 and step into 2016. Amen. We're going to sing.